أكبر الله أكبر أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن محمدا رسول الله أشهد أن محمدا رسول الله حي على الصلاة حي على الصلاة حي على الفلاح حي على الفلاح
الحمد لله الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا وحبيبنا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم إلا تنصروه فقد نصره الله إذ أخرجه الذين كفروا ثاني اثنين إذ هما في الغار إذ يقول لصاحبه لا تحزن إن الله معنا فأنزل الله سكينته عليه وأيده بجنود لم تروها وجعل كلمة الذين كفروا السفلى وكلمة الله هي العليا والله عزيز حكيم وقال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم المهاجر من هجر ما نهى الله تعالى عنه او كما قال صلى الله عليه وسلم وبعد if there are gaps in front of us inshallah let us come forward filling those shows our anxiety and our love desire enthusiasm for Allah azza wa jal jazakum Allah khairan most respected and noble ulama ikram huffaz Respected elders, Jama'atul Muslimin, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Recite salawat and durood upon our beloved Master, Sayyidina Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Amsallam Sayyidina Muhammad wa sallam alayhi wa sallam. Alhamdulillah, thumma alhamdulillah. On the most precious gift of Iman that Allah Azza wa Jal has granted to us without any eligibility, deservedness or striving from our side, purely a gift from Allah Ta'ala, an abundant shukr to Allah Azza wa Jal, that despite the fact that we are covered and immersed in sin, Allah Azza wa Jalla has given us this great honor of being linked to that personality whose every aspect is indeed the most perfect way of life, our beloved Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, whose leadership of the humanity and superiority will be clearly manifested in front of the entire creation. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, Ana sayyidu wuldi Adam yawm al-qiyamati wa la fakhra. Leadership of the entire humanity will be manifest for all on the plains of Qiyamah, and I say this with arrogance. بِيَدِي لِوَاءُ الْحَمْدِ. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's leadership will be manifested, that Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would have in his mubarak a flag that will have the praises of Allah Ta'ala unlike any praise ever uttered. In the of Sayyidina Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu ta'ala, and let us keep this point in mind, we revert to it right at the ending again. Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala's governors in the various cities and provinces would receive letters from him as Amirul Mu'mineen, giving directives, issuing injunctions, etc. When Al-Mughira radiallahu ta'ala an mentioned once to Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala an that why not establish a specific system of dating in Islam, so that the exact date, the year, etc. can be documented in the letters that reach us. Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala liked this opinion, convened a mashwara of senior sahaba radiallahu anhu majma'in, taking their opinions as what would form the origins of the Islamic calendar as far as year is concerned. The inception would be based on which year. One opinion given, let the first year of the Islamic calendar be the auspicious birth of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and we looked at details and the immense blessings that came with that greatest of occasions in the history of this universe. This opinion was not accepted on the basis that it resembles that of Christianity. Another opinion given was let the foundation and the inception be from the time Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam departed from this dunya. Subhanallah, what profound love Sahaba radiallahu anhu ajma'in felt, that this was the darkest and most difficult moment in our lives ever. And that is why Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, and such wisdom in these words, that if any of you are afflicted with any difficulty, the loss of beloved ones, or any other difficulty, then console yourself that it can never ever be greater than your loss of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, his departure from this dunya. So this would cause us too much sorrow and sadness. Sayyidina Ali radiallahu ta'ala gave the opinion that let the basis of the Islamic calendar be the hijrah, the migration of our beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala liked this opinion and seconded it, and many others agreed on this point, that it was the turning point in the history of Islam. It was the clear distinguishing line between haqq and batil. It was from there then that Islam was able to be practiced upon openly, without any fear, and this became the springboard of the spread of Islam to different parts of the world. So when we say we are in the year 1441 Hijrah, AH, after the Hijrah, it means 1441 years on the lunar calendar from the time of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam's Hijrah. Sayyidina Uthman radiallahu ta'ala also gave the opinion, let it the first month be Haram, and this opinion was well liked. So what is this hijrah, this amazing point, and the relationship that it has with this month of Rabi'ul Awwal? Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam radiallahu anhu majma'in were being persecuted in the severest of forms in Makkah Mukarramah. In 3 years, various groupings of the Ansar of Madinah Munawwarah started to enter the fold of Islam, and the last of them, a delegation of 73, took bay'ah and the pledge of Islam and selfless support for Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, as they would defend and guard the women and children would they render and offer their support to Islam. Subhanallah, how true they were to these words. Also in the month of Rabi'ul Awwal, the 12th, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the darkest hour in the history of Medina Munawwara, of humanity, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's departure from this dunya, just a few days before that, when Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, with great difficulty, gained some strength to ascend the minbar, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam reminded the ummah of the greatest benefactors, Sayyidina Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, and his virtue and his status, emphasized in those last days, and specifically the Ansar of Medina Munawwara. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says they had given their word, they lived up true to their word, so always appreciate and value their sacrifices. In future times, if any of them commits an error, find it in your heart to forgive. And when they do any good, then magnify it and highly appreciate and value it. 2 months, and they gave the invitation that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, sahaba radiallahu anhu ajma'in, could no longer go through that persecution, and that they should migrate towards Medina Munawwara. Allah Ta'ala had chosen Medina Munawwara as the city of migration for His Habib al-Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. In the previous scriptures, many aspects of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, his physical characteristics of perfection, loftiest of character, and even mention has been made that the auspicious birthplace would be the city of Makkah Mukarramah, and the place towards which Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would emigrate would have many date palms, exact description of the city of Medina Munawwara. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam prior to that was shown in dreams the place of migration. And thereafter Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, after this pledge from the Ansar, implored Sahaba radiallahu anhu ajma'in to continue with this greatest of actions of hijrah, sacrificing, leaving behind one's place and city of birth, one's properties, one's belongings and wealth, and all of this only for the love and the sake of Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, for the spread of Islam. And that is why it is such a virtuous action. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, Al-hijrah tahdimu ma kana qablah. Hijrah has this profound effect, like a person entering Islam, a person who makes hijrah, forsakes one's place of birth and migrates to another, for the sake of being able to uplift and practice one's deens freely, then that person, all the previous sins are completely forgiven by Allah Azza wa Jal. What was the precursor? The Quraysh leadership, the most senior of them, gathered in what was their parliament known as Darun Nadwa, that originally was the home of Qusay bin Kilab, as we mentioned last week, one of those in the lineage of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Only the Quraysh were allowed to take actions, and they had to be at an advanced, experienced age. They had gotten together to decide that what do we do regarding the spread of Islam, knowing that the Ansar had offered Medina Munawwara as the basis. She had come in human form as an elderly person from the area of Najd in order to give support to the opinions. When they had convened, one opinion Abu al-Bakhtari gave, and Allah Ta'ala speaks about the convening of the parliament and the various opinions given in the Quran Karim. One opinion given was, let us imprison him and severely persecute him while imprisonment. Shaitan, in the form of this elderly old man, rejected that this is not possible, for you know the love that his companions have. They will not rest until to free him from the clutches of imprisonment. A second opinion, Abu al-Asif, that let us banish him into exile so that once and for all we are rid, in his words, the menace of Islam in Makkah Mukarramah. Shaitan rejected this also, that where a base will be established. Do you not see the sweetness of his speech, enduring manner of expression? In a short time, a huge number of people would congregate, and highly possible that they would then come and attack you in your city of Makkah. So this is a favorable opinion. When the biggest shaitan of all, Abu Jahl, Fir'aunu hadhihi al-ummah, said that there is only one possibility, that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam should be assassinated, but the assassination should be carried out by representatives from all the tribes and clans, so that the clan of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam cannot take retribution against any one specific clan. We will sort out the blood money thereafterwards to appease them. This opinion was supported very strongly by Shaitan, and all of them agreed on this. No sooner did this meeting convene, Jibreel alayhi salam comes to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam with the news of what they had discussed. Allah Ta'ala talks about this, and he came with the verse, وَإِذْ يَمْكُرُ بِكَ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا لِيُثْبِتُوكَ أَوْ يَقْتُلُوكَ أَوْ يُخْرِجُوكَ. When they had connived either to imprison you, or to banish you into exile, or to murder and assassinate you. But Allah Ta'ala says, وَيَمْكُرُونَ وَيَمْكُرُ اللَّهِ. They were conniving and plotting, but Allah was fully aware of their conniving, and Allah Ta'ala had control of the situation. وَاللَّهُ خَيْرُ الْمَاكِرِينَ. Allah Azza wa Jal is the best of planners, and takes severely to task those who plot and connive, evil plottings and conniving. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is given the command that on this very night they are going to carry out this evil plan of theirs, so you should proceed on hijrah. Now many migrations had already taken place, majority. In fact, only Sayyidina Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, Sayyidina Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu remained in Makkah Mukarramah. When Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu wanted to migrate, he went to the haram, to all the various clans in the gatherings. To each one he said very boldly that I'm about to go on hijrah. If anybody wishes that his mother should mourn him, his wife should become a widow, or his child should be orphaned, then try and put a stop to me. That is why Abdullah bin Mas'ud radiallahu anhu says about Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu, كان إسلامه عزا وهجرته رفعة وإمامته رحمة. That Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu's Islam was a source of great honor to Muslims. His hijrah was a fortifying strength for the Muslim ummah. And his khilafah and his leadership was abundant compassion and mercy to humanity. We find others such as Abu Salama, wife and intended to migrate. The entire family was split into three. He was allowed to migrate. His wife was taken by her clansmen. The child was taken by his family members, husband, wife, little child separated in the name of Islam. A year later, her clansmen pity her and allow her to take the child and join up with her husband. Hazrat Suhaib al-Rumi radiallahu ta'ala is about to migrate when they approach him and intervene and say that you came to us as a pauper, as a degraded person. You have amassed this huge wealth in our city. We will not just let you go like that. So he says, you know, I'm the best marksman of all of you. One option is that I will expire every arrow and my sword and see who survives. The other is that you speak so boldly about your wealth, I will tell you all my wealth and possessions where they are hidden. Take that for you, but do allow me to proceed in hijrah. So he had forsaken his every belonging for the cause of this deen. That is why it is regarding him that Allah has revealed, and others like him. وَمِنَ النَّاسِ مَنْ يَشْرِي نَفْسَهُ بِتِغَاءَ مَرْضَاتِ اللَّهِ. Amongst human beings, there are those who have sold themselves off. And what do they get in lieu of it? Only the happiness and the pleasure of Allah Ta'ala. That is why at the termination of his hijrah, when he meets up with his beloved Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says, رَبِحَ الْبَيْعُ أَبَا يَحْيَى thrice. What a great deal you have struck. You have achieved the greatest of profits in this deal that you have entered into, O Abu Yahya, O Suhaib, radiallahu ta'ala an. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Sayyidina Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala an, is the personality whom Allah had given great honor in the safar of hijrah. Prior to that, numerous times he asked Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam permission to migrate. Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says that hold back, you may have a companion with you on your hijrah. He had this great yearning and desire that he has the honor of being with Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And well before this, he had purchased two camels and fed them with the best of feed to prepare for this journey. Sayyidina Aisha radiallahu anha says, on that very same afternoon prior to the night of hijrah, we see Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam comes to our house at a time when everybody is resting. We knew that there is a very serious matter abound. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says to Abu Bakr radiallahu anha, Allah has commanded me that tonight and on this very night I should make hijrah. Sayyidina Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, in one word, as-suhbata, may I have the honor of your companionship. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam responds in the affirmative that yes. Sayyidina Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu sheds tears of elation and joy. Our respected mother Sayyidina Aisha radiallahu anha says that the first time I realize that a person can actually cry because of happiness. They sneak. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam leaves Sayyidina Ali radiallahu anhu in his home. covered with the green shawl of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And for what purpose? Sayyidina Ali radiallahu ta'ala is left behind, that they may assume that it is Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam resting there. And for the purpose, and what a great purpose, that he should return the amanat and the trust that the very same people who had connived to assassinate Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam trusted nobody more than they did Al-Amin Sayyidina Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, leaving the most prized possessions in his control. And look at the amanat of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam commanding Sayyidina Ali radiallahu anhu to remain behind in order to return the various trusts and amanat to their rightful owners. They had surrounded the house with the intention of assassination. Abu Jahl arrogantly is boasting that he was talking about Islam dominating Arabs and non-Arabs, and tonight his life is in danger. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam comes out, Allah ta'ala's unseen help, they become blinded. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam reads the opening verses, Surah Yasin, up to فَأَغْشَيْنَاهُمْ فَهُمْ لَا يُبْصِرُونَ, holding sand in his Mubarak hands and throwing it over their heads. They become totally blinded. One narration says they fell into a sleep at that critical moment. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam joins up with Sayyidina Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, and they proceed, leaving behind Makkah Mukarramah. Let us understand the magnanimity of the sacrifice. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam comes to a hill nearby, turns around, looks at the city of Makkah Mukarramah, and says, O Makkah, you know, إِنَّكِ لَأَحَبُّ أَرْضِ اللَّهِ إِلَيَّ, you are amongst the most beloved of pieces of earth to me. Had my nation not compelled and forced me, I would never ever have left you and forsaken you. En route, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we know they've taken the alternative route. When they joined up with the main road and he remembered Makkah Mukarramah, his birthplace, very fondly, Allah revealed the verse promising, إِنَّ الَّذِي فَرَضَ عَلَيْكَ الْقُرْآنَ لَرَادُّكَ إِلَى مَعَادٍ, that being who has made compulsory upon you the injunctions of Quran, guarantees and promises, you will return ultimately to your place of origin. 8 years later, Makkah Mukarramah is conquered, Fathu Makkah, 20th of Ramadan. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Sayyidina Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, proceed towards the cave of Thawr, and en route, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam notices a peculiar action. As the Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, sometimes in front, sometimes behind, sometimes suddenly to the right and left. Oh, Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, why are you doing so? He says, when I'm behind, I think that maybe they are lying in ambush. So I come forward and put my life on line. Then the thought comes that maybe they will stage an attack from the rear. I put my life on defense, and similarly right and left. What profound muhabbat and love. When they come to the cave, Sayyidina Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu says that wait a little while, he goes in and cleans it out, ensures that there is nothing harmful. When Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam comes in, they are extremely fatigued. There is blood on the Mubarak feet of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam of ascending the mountain. Sayyidina Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu weeps uncontrollably on seeing the sacrifice. There is a hole that he notices while Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam rests on his lap. In the cave, he puts his foot to block it. He is stung numerous times by scorpions and a snake. He does not say a word not to disturb the sleep of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Only the tears of pain that comes down onto the Mubarak face of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam awakens him. Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam applies his Mubarak saliva to where he had been stung, and it becomes as if nothing, no harm had ever been caused to him. The Meccans are extremely enraged and angry when they find out the next morning that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had managed to escape. They go in search in all directions, firstly in the city of Makkah Mukarramah. They employ the services of the best trekkers, who takes them right to the mouth of the cave of Thawr. Allah Ta'ala's help, Allah Ta'ala sends His help in the most amazing means. A tree suddenly sprouts, in which two wild pigeons come and lay an egg. A spider is commanded by Allah Ta'ala to spin a web over the mouth of the cave. When they come there, they say, possibly into this cave, but when they see these, they say, not possible that a human has been here in the recent past, otherwise these would not have been here. These are the unseen armies of Allah Ta'ala's help that comes to His friend. Sayyidina Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu is inside the cave, notices how close they are. He says to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, whispering, if any of them had to look down merely at his foot, he would notice that we are inside here, and my concern is not for myself. If I go, it is one man, O Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. For you, it is the destruction of an entire ummah, an entire nation. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says to him, consoling him, مَا ظَنُّكَ بِثْنَيْنَ اللَّهُ ثَالِثُهُمَا, that what is your perception about those two whom Allah is the third of them. La tahzan inna Allaha ma'ana. Never be aggrieved. Verily Allah Ta'ala is with us, not with me, with both of us. That he was exactly in accordance with the mizaj and the mannerism of Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Sayyidina Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu's family's support is amazing. Hazrat Asma radiallahu anhu, his daughter, had prepared food. His son Abdullah would come every day at night time to give the news of the search parties of the Meccans, give them news. The freed slave of Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, Amir bin Fuhaira, brings the goats in the death of night to give them milk to drink and to cover their tracks from the trackers. After 3 days, they had commenced the journey, 27th of Safar, on a Thursday, 3 days in the cave, and the next Monday, the 1st of Rabi'ul Awal, proceeded on this amazing journey. The 12th of Rabi'ul Awal, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam arrives in Quba, varying narrations, for some 14 days. On the day of Friday, the auspicious entry into Medina Munawwara, and the warm welcome. And as they proceeded, the Meccans had set out a bounty of 100 camels. Suraqah bin Malik was sitting in his tribe in the Bedouins when a person came and says, and the news had got around that there is this bounty of 100 camels reward for those who capture or kill Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. A person says he had seen the silhouettes on the distance. He puts him off and then himself goes in the desire to gain that reward. And he takes a fast galloping horse and comes right up to close to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Again, Sayyidina Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu is perturbed, is concerned. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam makes dua. His horse's feet sink into the ground. He realizes that this is the divine help I'm playing with. Begs for forgiveness, gives the guarantee that he will cover the tracks from behind. Amazingly asks Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to write him a note of asylum, which Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asks Amir to do. Years later, after Makkah Mukarramah is conquered, after Taif, after Hunain, he comes and here is the spread of Islam and he shows it asylum note. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam welcomes him. He accepts Islam. Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam prophesizes on that occasion that what a glorious day it will be when the bracelets and the jewels of the Emperor of Persia shall be put onto your body, O Suraqah. In the time of Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu, those precious jewels are brought. Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu calls none but Suraqah. The prophecy of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam reaching its fruition. The other amazing aspect of this journey, passing by the very elderly lady Ma'bad, who used to stay on the pathway in order to feed the passerbys, the musafirs. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Sayyidina Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu requests to purchase some meat and dates. She says, you can see the severe drought, we have absolutely nothing. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam sees a she-goat, asks to milk it. She says, this thing has not even a drop of milk. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam reads Bismillah, the udders are suddenly filled. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and his party drink to their fill, leaves an abundant amount for Ma'bad, and refer to the books of Sirah and maybe another bayan. The description she had given to her husband when he came later on in the evening about the perfection of characteristics and qualities in Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And so this amazing journey of Hijrah with its many, many lessons, our muhabbat and love for Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, what power and effect there would be emulating one Mubarak sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. As said at the outset, the reason, the basis of our Islamic calendar is the Hijrah. Hijrah literally means to forsake and to leave. That the success of this ummah is based on sacrificing, on leaving, especially haram for the pleasure of Allah Ta'ala. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillah.